snap, crackle, and pop into the cup. My friend Kenny Griffith back in junior high, he could crack all of his knuckles off both hands.
Oh,
yeah, no, listen. You just hear that. Miss Marr says, you kids cracking your knuckles, they're all going to pop. I said, why are you afraid?
What is it supposed to make you more afraid?
Oh, that's what they used to say.
Yeah,
I don't know if it's true or not.
Yeah, I don't know.
So is Jill going to be here today?
I think so.
Is she?
Wow.
So how long has that been off?
Just like about 30 seconds.
Wasn't that long?
Yeah, Kenny, they tried it.
I had it timed wrong. So, onliners, you did not miss the rapture. I'm still here. All right. We're going to start with a Martha song.
Martha
wrote this.
What number is it?
Many moons ago. Page 17 in your praise book. Except the Lord build the house.
Oh, there she is.
Oh. My cameraman's not here.
Oh. Second.
Hey, Nathan.
Your cameraman, Johnny.
So I can catch my breath. Jesus. That's in the hymn book, page 84.
Just a moment and it'll at least be a two-piece band.
We will give you that moment. Our traffic on the way in tonight was actually better than it's been in a while.
Yeah.
Not that it wasn't crowded, but not too crazy. I guess last week we had a little more traffic because it was the day before Thanksgiving.
I think I might have just recently transposed this one, too. That'll be nice.
This is a Christmas song written by Charles Wesley. At least we use it for Christmas time. We only learned this last year, didn't we? Or a year or two ago?
G.
G.
K. TMD. Now, the first verse is the top two lines.
Thank you.
And then, so be careful following it. And we'll make it.
Sing praise to the Father and praise to the Son.
saved.
I'm saved. Amen. Amen. Praise
Jesus. Thank you.
Good
save.
Hmm.
That's all right. Awesome. Whoops. Sorry about that. Good to have our onliners with us. And
amen.
Invite you to send in your prayer request to bbfohio@protonmail.com. Rest of you in the house, raise your hand. Sister Janie provides fast, friendly, free delivery. A prayer card for your use and a pencil if you need it.
Ooh. I need it. I got you.
Thank you.
You onliners, by the way, you don't have to wait and send it during the service. I get every once in a while, usually I get one or two. Especially on Wednesday, I get one or two before the service time. And camera peoples is doing their thing. We're all zoomed in and all that sort of thing. Then you can silence your cell phone. That includes the camera peoples. Pedro gets to hear it go psst every time I get a message, but I think I did. I think I did. That'd be a good idea just in case. The old memory just ain't what it used to be. I did it 15 minutes ago and can't remember.
I know, right?
That's what happens Sunday.
Do not disturb. You're good.
Sunday we're getting all packed up and ready. I go in the house. I think I told you that too. Didn't I tell you that? But I walked in and Jenny asked me a question that blew my mind. I forgot to get the hymn books. I've always kind of been that way, but it's getting worse with age. All right, we're going to be in 1 Thessalonians. The full title, the first epistle of Paul, the apostle to the Thessalonians. We'll come back to that after our current events update. Please hold your question and comments to the end. After we say, welcome back, Jill.
Welcome back, Jill.
You look really... I just say a lot better than the last time I saw you. You were.
Let me tell you, God is a miraculous God, and His timing is impeccable.
Amen. Amen.
Impeccable.
Don't get to use that word that much.
Yeah. So.
Amen. Well, we're glad you're here. You look good.
Yeah, Jenny and I talked about it and how God's timing is.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. We love you. We're glad you're back.
Thank you.
And we have a few new sickos out there. That won't be here tonight, and won't give all your business out online, but we have them on the prayer request. But that's why I'm not doing a lot of hugging and carrying on, because I don't want your germs. And for those of you who don't believe in germ theory, I apologize. But I do. And I don't want that. It's flu bug going around, and there's a what they call it, RSV, that the kids are getting. It's a respiratory illness. And, well, they have, but I just don't want to promote it any more than we have to. It's like chicken pox, you know.
Yeah.
You know, kids need probably to get it, but us old people got to be careful. I don't care what they say. You get chicken pox, you can still get shingles, because I know people who did. And then they have, and there's a vaccine for that, too.
That's a good line.
Yeah. All right, hold your question and comments to the end of... current events update. I guess everybody can hear me all right. Can you hear me? All
right.
Current events update. Number one, I got it backwards. Democrats codify Sodom with the help of Republicans.
Yeah.
Now, if I understand right, it still has to go through another vote in the House. Is that right?
That's what I thought.
But they're saying that it's pretty much a done deal. Of course, the Lord can do things because He has in the past. But the Senate passed the so-called Respect for Marriage Act. What it means is going to hell in a handbasket. The Nations That Forget God Act is what they should call it.
Exactly what it is.
And 12 Republicans helped pass it. And they needed 60 votes. If the Republicans hadn't joined it, they wouldn't have got it. So I tell everybody, I am not a Republican. To hell with the Republican Party.
Amen.
Amen, 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 amen.
Amen.
I am for people who stand for the Constitution. I don't care what party. I just haven't met a Democrat that does that. Every once in a while, I run across a Republican who does. Some independents do, etc. That just makes me sick. But you know what? We're going to be raptured out of here, and then they can have it.
Yeah.
And it's all going to burn. Yeah. Mitch McConnell, all those millions of crooked dollars you're making are going to burn.
That's right.
Two senators, Republican Susan Collins and Democrat Tammy Baldwin, penned an op-ed showing the bipartisan support for what God calls an abomination. Then this guy, Republican Senator Tom Tillis, I'm just curious if he's a closet queer senator. I don't understand why. You know, Rob Portman voted for this because of his son coming out and becoming getting married, as they call it. It's a fake marriage. And I want to say this too. I had a couple of people ask me about calling them queers. You know what? First of all, they call themselves queers.
Yeah, amen.
And I can show you story after story and organization after organization where they call themselves queers. You know why they want to demand that you don't call them queers? Because they demand to control you. And I will not be controlled. They don't want to be called queers. They can stop calling themselves queers. I've had Christians tell me, you're supposed to hold to the end. I have been told by Christians that it's mean. This is Christians who told me it's mean and hateful to call them sodomites. Well, that's what God calls them in the Bible. I rarely ever call them gay because they're the most miserable, unhappy people I've ever known.
Amen.
Yeah, I didn't. You know, I some people thought I was raised in a monastery. I used to hang out with queers. They'd buy me beer, so there's my buddy. I'd hang out with them. I'd been to parties where there was always queers there. Never had a problem with them until I got saved. Before that, I had buddies that didn't like them. I didn't know why. I was like, it's their business. But once I got saved, I started reading the Bible. I realized God hates homosexuality.
Amen.
God hates it.
Abomination.
And as I said, I believe Sunday, it's not that God's going to bring judgment on America with the homosexual movement. It is God's judgment on this country.
Amen.
I go on and on about that, but I'll move on for a minute. The Radical Respect for Marriage Act could spell the end of religious tax exemptions, according to the Heritage Foundation. Now, you give to a church. We've all been lied to since the 50s. Churches do not have to be IRS recognized. In the code, and I can show you right on their website, that if you are a church, then you are automatically tax exempt. They want you to file for the 501(c) because they are 501(c)(3) so that they can control you.
Yeah. Amen. Right.
But if you give to a church, that money that you give, if you make enough money to itemize and all that, it is tax exempt. You can write it off. But then what they're going to try to do is come in and find churches, whether they're 501(c)(3) or not, and declare them political. Because we speak on these issues. And we will not perform sodomite marriages.
Amen.
Amen.
And if they come in here and make us put a big sign up or something, no donations are tax exempt or whatever, we'll do it. I am not going to bow to their agenda. Yep. And I'm not going to stop preaching on things that God speaks on just because they make it political. Killing babies, I don't care if you make it political or not, it's wicked.
Amen.
Sodomite marriage, whether you've made it political or not, is wicked. God calls it an abomination. I believe that the Romans 13 declares that God established our Constitution and Bill of Rights. Therefore, when you oppose that, you oppose God. And I will speak on it.
Amen.
Nonetheless, the import of today's vote on the Respect for Marriage Act cannot be overstated. If the bill passes as it currently reads, and it did, The United States is looking at a fundamental shift in its religious liberty protections. This bill could impact not only how religious institutions function, but whether they'll even be able to afford to do so. If you come to me after and say, well, what I understand is that it really isn't, then you're just telling me that you have lost your mind and you're watching the stupid fake news media.
Yep.
They're out telling everybody that, but they're liars, and I've proved that to anybody who's ever watched BBF. They lie, and they've lied and lied and lied and tried to tell everybody, oh, there's no problem with this bill. Why do you think Mike Lee and Ted Cruz and a bunch of those other guys up there were trying to get the Lee Amendment passed? Because they're lawyers, and they know that this law is going to be used to beat you over the head with the sodomite agenda.
That's right.
And all the liars like Rob Portman, all the liars like my Congressman Mike Carey, bunch of bald-faced liars.
Amen.
And Republicans.
Yeah, with crats. Yep.
While religious liberty advocates have been ringing, I'm just so sick of this. I just want everybody to be on notice that if the Republican Party continues what it's doing, I will badmouth them as much as I've ever badmouthed the Democrats. Amen. I think the Republican Party right now is a waste.
Yep.
Christians don't have a political home. We have particular people we can support. And the Republican Party needs to know we're not going to be one of those groups that just are suckers to vote for you every time you run just because you call yourself something. I didn't vote for my congressman last time. I won't vote for him next time. Leave it blank. While religious liberty advocates have been ringing the alarm bells about the attack on religious freedom for decades, this bill comes the closest to destroying the religious freedom of millions of Americans and countless nonprofit organizations. You know who they're going to go after? Adoption agencies that are Christian.
Yeah.
That's who they're going to go after. And you just remember, it was Republicans who joined to make this happen. They call you and ask for a donation, tell them to put it in their ear. And of course, Romans 1:32, sodomite Republican named Rob Portman of Ohio voted for the Sodom Marriage Act that they call the Respect for Marriage Act. This is right on his own website. Portman praises Senate passage of the Respect for Marriage Act. That man's going to burn in hell.
Yep.
Rob Portman is a Christ-rejecting, Satan loving reprobate who's going to burn in hell.
Amen. Let him burn.
I hope somebody I know knows him and can tell him. Amen. Well, there's that preacher down Worthington who said, you're going to go to hell. And if I ever had the opportunity, I'd tell him. You give me. Anybody know him? Set it up. I will tell him to his face. Romans 1:32 says, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death. That's talking about the sodomite sex perversion. And I'm not accusing anybody, but I want to tell you what I wonder. I wonder how many of these Republicans voting for this stuff are involved in sex trafficking.
Absolutely.
How many of them are involved in gay prostitution behind their wives' back or with their wives' knowledge? They that which commit such things are worthy of death. Not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do that. Well, number two, we'll have more to say about that as we find out what's going on. Here's some hot shots of what's going on in these last days. Brother Brian's mentioned this downstairs earlier. This Died Suddenly documentary, and I'm telling you, if you haven't watched it, you need to watch it. Turn your eyes when it gets ugly a couple of times. There's some ugly stuff and blood and all that. Just on Rumble, as of, this was a screenshot from the 21st. That's when it was published. Okay, what's today? The 30th, so it's been 9 days.
Yeah.
More than a million a day. It's now got 10.7 million views. It's totally blocked from YouTube, and Twitter puts a block on it that you have to punch through, I think, if it's still even available. And it, but there's still 10 million. Now, I think there's a couple hundred million adults in this country, so there's a long way to go before enough people see it. But they're doing everything they can for you not to see this information. And then we have these Twitter confessions about the previous presidential election that was stolen.
Yep.
Ex-Twitter chief, or he was called a safety chief, admits that the Hunter Biden laptop censorship was a mistake. They admit they censored, and then they say now they see it's a mistake.
Oh, excuse me, sorry.
It's a criminal act.
It is.
But they won't go to jail.
Yep.
Joel Roth quit Twitter in protest of the company's new owner. He doesn't. He's a Marxist swine who doesn't like free speech, but he's admitting that they censored the news in order to sway the election. That's in addition to the 2,000 mules. That's in addition to all the different forms of ballot harvesting going on, and the people who go over to their mentally incompetent friends and neighbors and relatives and fill out their mail-in ballots for them and send it in, and all that stuff going on all over the country. And who knows what was going on with the computer programs. But Elon, who is now the owner of Twitter, is looking at the records, and he admits Twitter has interfered in elections. So if anybody tells you that you're an election denier and you don't believe the truth, the facts, we have the facts. They admit it, that the 2020 election was stolen.
Yeah.
That won't stop them from trying to silence you. So Elon is now leftist enemy number two. Who's number one? This is some reprobate named Yellen, and she is now. Is it? Oh, I'm jumping ahead there. She's with the Federal Reserve. I couldn't think of which crooked organization she was with. It's neither federal nor reserve. They have no reserves, and anyway, she's now saying that a review of the Twitter deal may be appropriate. In other words, now that he has Twitter and now that he's allowing free speech, maybe we should review this. And I've been told, I've heard that there's nothing they can really do about it. But that's just there were a couple other things I thought I'd bring up, and then I decided not to, because it's just, you know what? You can only handle so much.
Yeah.
I try to make these current events updates things that information you need, information that's useful. And to show you, the bottom line is that the powers that be are full of the devil. They serve the devil. They are on board with the Antichrist system. You and I, as believers in Jesus Christ, have to see that, realize that, but also not get discouraged. But as Jesus said, when you begin to see these things come to pass, look up.
Amen.
For your redemption draweth nigh. And this is the last day of November. And I'll criticize some of the folks on the far or on the right, whether it's far right or right. They act like because all this stuff's going on, we should just always be upset and always angry and everything. Hey, I'm telling you, Jenny will tell you, we keep informed, we stay on top of things, but we aren't going to let them ruin our lives.
Yeah,
you know, I tell you, sometimes I don't even want to talk about it. Some of you bring it up and say, yeah, I'm not in the mood to even talk about it, because I don't want to let them live in my head all the time. And we go home, we'll watch something on TV or turn on the Christmas music, and we decorate and all that, and we just, you know, we just enjoy life.
Amen.
Have the joy of our salvation.
Amen.
And then when somebody brings this up, I spit nails for 5 or 10 minutes. Amen. Anybody got a question coming? Jill.
One of the nurses, St. Anne's, excuse me, I was telling her about Died Suddenly. She said she was going to look it up. There was another nurse, her name was Courtney. She's a young lady trying to have a baby, has had two miscarriages in the last year. And she, of course, they had to have the shot, so she is afraid that that's what caused it.
She has good reason to be afraid.
So I encouraged her, though, that God is still in control and that he can give her conception should he decide.
That's true. Sadly, though, he also lets people suffer the consequences of being foolish.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, she said she didn't want to do it, but they made her.
And, you know.
And she's a sweet lady. She's saved, but she needs to get closer to God. And I showed her some of Jenny's videos, and I wouldn't be surprised if she doesn't look into some of that. So pray for Courtney. She's a really sweet lady.
Good. Did you?
As far as on the gay side, Disney did a movie called Strange Worlds.
That
was released.
That was one of the things I thought I'd bring up. But go ahead and bring it.
Yeah.
they're going to lose $100 million on it. Is what they're saying.
Yeah, $100 million. It's the biggest flop in 31 years.
My whole life.
And it had a father and a son, and the son became gay. And the father said, that's okay.
Oh, it's the story of Rob Portman.
Yeah. And the son mocks the crucifixion of Christ in that movie, in that cartoon. And then says he wants to go to bed with the Lord. That is where Disney is at right now.
That's now, they did change CEOs, and the new CEO is saying he's going to tone down the wokeness, but I'll believe it when I see it.
Yeah.
Nate, did you want to say?
The CEO is the one that started it, though. He's the one that approved that movie a long time ago.
Yeah, Nate?
And at further to this point, I've actually seen a bunch of people saying it's not the wokeness's fault that the movie's failing. It's a poor advertisement.
Yeah, I saw that, too. Yeah.
Yeah. I saw ads for it.
Yeah, there was. Yeah, Brian.
I have a question for you. You were talking about the tax deductions and was
501c3.
501c3. Is that going to apply across the board to all religions?
Well, that's a good question. Actually, in that
in
that article,
is that going to apply to mosques?
In that article, well, let me answer. In that article, they say that it will. And there have been times where Muslim mosques and Jewish synagogues have been, you know, the more conservative types, have been stuck with things like that. So we'll have to see. Now, the point Brian's making, though, I think, is that the homosexuals who decide they're going to sue somebody for not making their cakes and things never go to a Muslim cake shop. You know, they never go to I don't even know they ever gone to a Jewish conservative or go into the Orthodox Jewish area of New York and that kind of thing. So that's a legit good question. But legally, technically, anybody, you know, who doesn't go along with the agenda is game. Yeah, Johnny?
So I was just going to make another side thing. I mean, odds are that movie they're just talking about, that is the reason it went, it's bad. But I have tend to have noticed that quite often when they put that stuff, woke stuff into movies, they also tend to also put bad writing into it additionally.
But that's part of it. The bad writing is that because they're trying to push their agenda. That's what makes it bad.
Yeah, so
it goes hand in hand.
They're not trying to entertain, they're trying to educate.
That's right. That's right. It's all propaganda.
Yes.
I want to say this, and then we'll move on. But there's a thing floating around about Tim Allen made a series, actually, for Disney Plus, and something to do with the Santa Clauses.
Yeah,
it's about his
like
family.
The fourth one.
And there's a scene where the kids hold up the signs. It says, "I love Santa," but they got it switched, and it says, "I love Satan." Mm. And there's a lot of conservatives losing their minds over that. And that's where a Proverbs 18:13 attitude comes in. Don't judge something like that from a screenshot. I saw that happen one time, for real, and it was hilarious. The kids were up there singing about I Love Satan, and I Love Santa. It was a public school thing. And the kids had the letters out of order, and it said, I love Satan, and the teachers are all frantically doing this. It's just hilarious. And if they were seriously trying to, put that message in a movie, but, a lot of conservatives really don't have a sense of humor. And that's one of the things I can't stand about the left, the liberals. Liberals don't have a sense of humor. And they think anything that, it's like the comedy, you hear comedians, and if they ever make fun of a trans, for example, Dave Chappelle, I don't watch his stuff, it gets filthy, but I've seen clips of it. The man is liberal. He's pro-trans. He just doesn't want to be told he can't tell a joke. But the liberal left, they don't have a sense of humor. And if you joke about anything that's one of their, golden calves, they go crazy. And I'm like, conservatives, please don't become like that, because I won't be able to stand you.
Yeah.
You got to have a sense of humor or you lose your mind. And if you see something like that, especially coming from Tim Allen, I mean, the guy's earned a little bit of, what am I trying to say here? Benefit of the doubt. That's right. It was up there. It took me a minute to find it. Don't you think? I mean, Tim Allen, doesn't he deserve a benefit of the doubt until... Yeah. I mean, because he's getting heat because he took out a lot of the ghosts and goblins and things out of the original script because he said Christmas is a religious holiday. We don't want occultism in it. And so I think with that knowledge of the background of that movie or series, I'm not going to watch it unless it comes on, online later or something like that, because I don't waste my money on Disney, but I still think we should wait till it comes back. Yeah, Mark, you're on my last one. Then we got to get in our
show. I've watched him on that Last Man Standing. It was some of the holidays and everything. And when he gets a good chance to put a barb in on the left, I mean, it's right down the middle for a strike. Yeah.
He's one of the few, that I think.
He's got guts.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's open with a word of prayer, and then let's do a little Bible study. 1 Thessalonians. All right. Johnny, back there in the back, can you open Bible study prayer?
Sure. And so, dear Lord, just thank you that you've continued to preserve freedom in this country. This bill they're doing sounds good. Sounds like not good at all. We pray somehow it will be knocked down. Or somehow rendered worthless. We pray now, Lord, you'll bless the sermon here so we can learn from your word and be reminded of things that truly matter. You'll help us to withstand an evil day.
Amen.
And in Jesus' name I pray.
Amen.
Amen.
All right, let's get some Bible readers lined up in Acts chapter 17. Mary? Verses 1 through 4, and then Acts 17, 5 through 8, Jessica, and then Acts 17, 9 through 12, Johnny, and then Acts 17, 13 through 15, Jill, Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 13, Jenny, Miller, Ephesians 4, 14 through 17. Janie? All right. And then one more. Ephesians 3, 14 through 17. One more. Jim? All right, that's it. Well, I shouldn't have gone too fast. Everybody got it?
Mine number 2?
Yes.
Thank you.
Well, in Mark's book, you're number 1.
Amen.
Come on, Mark. I just lobbed you a softball. Hit it out of the park, man. Say, yes, dear. That's all right. That's what I'd say about Jenny. All right. So we're in 1 Thessalonians, chapter 1, verse 1, introducing Thessalonians. And it's always important to start right if you're going to end right. Amen? Amen. We've said that a few times over the years. You see Thessalonica spelled with a K or a C, according to what you're reading. And it's in the country of Greece. G-R-E-E-C-E. So let's look at 1 Thessalonians 1:1. Everybody there?
Yes.
Read that with me. Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Now you may think I'm, wow, you're going to spend a whole service on one verse. I know a guy who spent 3 weeks on this one verse. So cut me some slack. Thessalonica was and is a very important city. I believe it's the second most populous city now in Greece. You ever seen the map of Greece? Usually we look at the bottom portion and think of Greece, but it kind of stretches up to the north there in Thessalonica. And Paul established the church at Thessalonica during his second missionary journey. Now, I had a map that I was going to put up, and I don't know what I did with it, so I'm going to try to find one. Where? How many of you have a map maybe in your Bible, and you've seen the missionary journeys of Paul?
Yeah.
And the second missionary journey was have been Paul's intent to just basically do what he did the first time around and go back and revisit, because you do understand it took years. So by the time he would get back there, it would be years later. And not like today where you can hop on a train or if you're in Europe or even from America, hop a plane, you can be there in a day or two. That was not the case then. So what happened was the Baptist church planting ministry. He had a falling out with Barnabas over Mark. And so they went their separate ways. That's how most Baptist churches get planted.
Yeah.
There's a church split, this group goes over here, and it's kind of a joke, but not. But scripture was scripture. Acts 17:1 through 4. I believe Mary's going to read that. Acts 17:1 to 4. I just want to look at this journey that's documented for us here where the Apostle Paul is in Thessalonica. Acts chapter 17. Give everybody just a minute to get there because we're going to read through a few verses.
Where's Jenny?
Verses 1 through 4. What?
Can you move this a little bit for the camera a little to the right because the screen's cut off.
Oh, all right, Mary, go ahead and read that.
Now, when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where was a synagogue of the Jews. And Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and 3 Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scriptures, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus, whom I preach unto you, is Christ. And some of them believed and consorted with Paul and Silas, and of the devout Greeks, a great multitude, and of the chief women, not a few.
So notice a couple of things here. He's passing through and comes to Thessalonica. And there's a synagogue of the Jews. Now, verse 2, you notice he went there 3 Sabbath days and reasoned with who?
The Jews.
Them, the Jews. Contrary to what the Seventh-day Adventists and others teach, the early church did not go to church on Saturday. They met the first day of the week, which is Sunday.
Amen.
They went out to the Jewish synagogues on Saturday to try to reach them with the gospel.
Amen.
They didn't have church on Sunday. And you remember back in Romans 1, you remember Romans 1:16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to the Jew first and also to the Greek. That was not meant to be a requirement for all of church history. Paul was describing what the apostles did. The apostles went from town to town throughout the known world of the day. And the first thing they would do is go to the synagogue and preach to the Jews. And as you read through Acts, you'll see it over and over and over. He goes to the Jews and basically gets run off and then goes to the Gentiles. And then he goes to the next town, goes to the synagogue, gets run off, and then goes to the Gentiles. And that's what Romans 1:16 is saying. When Jesus came, who did he say he'd come for?
Jews.
The lost sheep of the house of Israel.
Yep.
Amen.
And then he did minister to Gentiles, but the main focus was first to the Jew. And so that's what Paul is doing. He's just fulfilling that process. Now look at verse 3. He preaches the gospel to the Jews in the synagogue. And he shows from the Old Testament how that Christ must needs have suffered. Why? Because the Old Testament prophesied of it. Psalm 22, where his hand, they pierced my hands and my feet. Isaiah 53, and the suffering servant, as it's called. And over and over, Zechariah 12:10, even prophesying about the second coming, actually foretells of the crucifixion, because it says they will look upon him whom they pierced. How do you get pierced? Isn't talking about a nose ring. He's talking about having his hands and his feet pierced on the cross. That goes back to Psalm 22, before crucifixion was even in use as an execution technique. That Bible's amazing.
Amen.
And so that's what he's saying here. He goes to the Jews, and Paul probably said it better than I just did, but that's what Paul said to them. He went and told them what I just said, and then some. Preaching how that Christ must have needs have suffered and risen again from the dead. What's our banner back there? Tell you in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1, Paul says, I preached unto you the gospel. And then he says in verse 3 what that gospel is, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. So that's what Paul is preaching here in Thessalonica, what he tells us in 1 Corinthians 15, 1 to 4. Then it says in verse 4 that some of them believed and consorted with Paul and who?
Silas.
Yeah, we'll come back to that in a minute. Who's got verses 5 through 8? That's Jessica. Go ahead and read verses 5 through 8. Just for the ladies, look at how that verse 4 ended. Of the Greeks, a great multitude, and of the chief women, not a few. Some of the power broker women of that day were coming to Christ. And not a few means a bunch. All right, go ahead, Jessica.
But the Jews which believed not, moved with envy, took unto them certain lewd fellows of the baser sort, and gathered a company, and set all the city on an uproar, and assaulted the house of Jason, and sought to bring them out to the people. And when they found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren unto the rulers of the city, crying, these that have turned the world upside down are come hither also, whom Jason hath received, and these all do contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying that there is another king, one Jesus. And they troubled the people and the rulers of the city when they heard these things.
So that's what's the background to the book we're reading in 1st and 2nd Thessalonians. This was the groundwork laid. And look, I love, first of all, Jason. It's a great name, isn't it? And verse 6, these that have turned the world upside down are come hither also. That was meant to be an insult. Thank you for the compliment. What's that, Jim?
Exactly what they did.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. But I also like verse 7. Remember Sunday when I said that there's a lot of people running around blasting Christians who are involved in the political process, voting and urging people to vote for those who will stand against abortion and stand against Marxism and stand against gun control and stand up for the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, etc. And they're calling them Christian nationalists and trying to paint them up like they're like Nazis, you know. Well, look what they accuse the Christians of here. Verse 7. Saying that there is another king, one Jesus. See, what we are saying is that we ought to obey God. And that if this nation doesn't get back to God, it will be destroyed. That's not a threat, it's a promise.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're just messengers.
And they will take when you say that and paint you up as though you're threatening them. And then they'll, you know, and then they do all the other propaganda type stuff. Well, nothing new under the sun in Ecclesiastes.
Yeah.
You know, that 2,000 years ago, they did the same thing. The only difference is they didn't have, you know, social media. Yeah, Jenny?
Well, I was just reading in Jeremiah recently. That's what happened to him.
Yeah.
He there said that bad stuff's going to happen to us if we don't turn to God.
Yeah.
And, you know, when the bad guys come, we need to just go with them. They got upset at him.
Called basically accusing him of treason.
Yeah.
Insurrection. January 6th.
Mm-hmm.
All right, who's next? 17 verses 9 through 12. Go ahead, Johnny.
And when they had taken security of Jason and of the other, they let them go. And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind, and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. Therefore many of them believed, also of honorable women which were Greeks, and of men not a few.
There it is again. Honorable women, meaning these were some very important Greek ladies who were coming to Christ, along with men. Not a few, a bunch. Verse 11 is kind of a theme verse, should be a theme verse for Bible believers. We want to be Bereans.
Amen.
Now, it's not a slap to the church in Thessalonica. It's a slap to the synagogue in Thessalonica that Paul stood there and told them the Old Testament scriptures fulfilled by Jesus Christ, and the synagogue Jews in Thessalonica didn't do their homework, refused to go back and look it up and see if it was true.
Wow.
But in Berea, the Bereans in the synagogue checked Paul out, and because of that, a bunch got saved. Same thing will happen today when you witness to a Jew. If you can get a Jew to actually start reading the Bible, and then once they start believing, if they believe the Bible, they'll get saved.
Amen.
The problem is they don't believe the Bible. And so they don't either don't read it or they explain it all away. And that's what's happening among Gentiles to a large degree, of course, as well. So pick up there verses 13 through 15, Jill.
But when the Jews of Thessalonica had knowledge that the word of God was preached of Paul at Berea, they came thither also and stirred up the people. And then immediately the brethren sent away Paul to go, as it were, to the sea, but Silas and Timotheus abode there still. And they that conducted Paul brought him into Athens, and receiving a commandment unto Silas and Timotheus for to come to him with all speed, they departed.
So it's not enough for the Jews in Thessalonica that they don't believe and they don't really search the scriptures to see if what Paul's saying is so. They travel to Berea and start trouble. Who's that sound like? That's typical liberal today. The Anti-Defamation League. A bunch of Christ-rejecting Jews who go around attacking anybody who doesn't go along with their leftist agenda. It's not a Jewish agenda. The Anti-Defamation League is one of the worst things that ever happened to the Jews. And they've labeled this little church a hate group. because we stand against the Sodomite movement.
Yep.
And it's just a fact that the majority of Jews, just like Paul said in his day in Romans 11, they are enemies of the gospel. And they fight against the gospel. They fight against Jesus Christ. A lot of the things that have been done in courts to undermine Christianity and our influence among the young people in this country, in schools and elsewhere, has been funded by Jews. If I weren't a Christian, I'd be an anti-Semite. I'm just being honest with you. And if you tell me you wouldn't be, if you're not a Christian, if you weren't a Christian, you tell me you wouldn't be an anti-Semite, I'd have to assume that's because you just remain ignorant. Because any non-Christian who knows the evil being done by Jews and all their money and all their influence, and they are just like they have helped the homosexuals become what they are in this country. It's Jewish blood money that is causing the apostasy taking place nationally in this country. So what do? We're going to start goose-stepping and calling for their death? No. We warn them. We urge them to repent and turn to Jesus Christ. But every one of those Jews are going to burn in hell if they don't. And we're called haters and anti-Semites because we tell them that. It's just Dave Chappelle again. I saw that clip. He says, you know, if you see a bunch of black guys doing something, it's a gang. And he says, if you see a bunch of Latinos, they call it something. And he says, but if you see a bunch of Jews doing something, it's just a coincidence. You're not supposed to notice or say anything about it.
Funny.
Yeah, that's where we are today. And see, that's why I'm always in trouble. I'm always in trouble with people. I mean, Christians, dispensational Christians have accused me of being a Jew hater. Why? Because I tell the truth. I support Israel. I support the Jews. I'm opposed to violence against Jews. I believe that Jews who want to reject Christ have the freedom to do so. Amen. What I'm also, though, going to tell you is that the Jews in this country, with a very small number of exceptions, are using their money to fund the work of Satan. Porn in this country wouldn't be what it is today without the Jews. Abortion in this country wouldn't be anywhere near what it is today without the Jews. Why do you think God's so angry with them that he's going to kill 2 out of 3 of them after the rapture? Don't get mad at me. God's the one that says he's going to kill 2 out of 3 of them. God's the one that says after the rapture, during that tribulation period, his own city of Jerusalem, he calls it Sodom. Well, this is just a little snapshot of it where we're reading here. And you see there a couple of times mentioned Silas. See, Silas is Silvanus. So you might want to make a note of that because it's sometimes the names can cause a little bit of confusion. You see Silas, Paul and Silas in the book of Acts. Then you come over here to the book of 1 Thessalonians and you see Silvanus. Well, it's nice to know that's the same guy. You're looking at Greg right now, if you're looking at me. Also known as Gregory. In some places, at some times, I've been known as Andy. And others don't know me by any other name than Fudge. There are other people who didn't know I had a first name. They called me Miller all the time. How many was that? Like 5 names I've got? So that's the way it is with the Bible. Of course, we know that Paul, the apostle, was called Saul, right?
Yep.
There's also a king, Saul. And I had to help a guy who was confused about that one time. So getting these names straight in your Bible is going to help you go a long way in your Bible study. Now, so we read there in verse 1, I don't know why it says 1 Thessalonians 4. 1 Thessalonians 1:1. Paul and Silvanus, and he was considered a chief man of the apostles. He wasn't just a sidekick. Silas wasn't the guy that they were always saying, "Hey, Silas, go get me my luggage and go over and get me a dark roast coffee and a donut." You know. Now, he would have probably done it because he had a minister's heart. But over in Acts 15:22, it says, "Then pleased it the apostles and elders with the whole church to send chosen men of their own company to Antioch." There's another name you need to remember. Antioch. The original home base, headquarters for the apostles was Jerusalem. But because of persecution, they moved to Antioch, Syria, which is in to this day, you can still go to where that's at. So they send chosen men of their own company to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas, namely Judas, not the Iscariot, surnamed Barsabbas. So there's two names for one guy right there. Judas, also known as Barsabbas, and Silas, who's also Silvanus. But what's it say about him? Chief men among the brethren. So Silas was an important guy. He wasn't one of the 12 handpicked apostles, but he was a very important guy. So it's a name you ought to learn, Silas and Silvanus. He was also a prophet. And again, in Acts 15:32, and Judas and Silas, same two guys, Barsabbas, Judas, and Silas, being prophets also themselves, exhorted the brethren with many words and confirmed them. That's just very interesting. I do not believe, I've never met a prophet. I've met a lot of people claim to be prophets. But the reason why I do not accept them as prophets is because they refuse to be tested.
Right.
A prophet of God is open to being tested. He is subject to the spirit of the prophets, which means, number one, he never goes against God's word.
Amen.
So if he's out there teaching all kinds of heresy and stuff, you know he's not a prophet. Number two, if he's God's prophet, he never gets it wrong. So when Oral Roberts got it wrong, he's out. Benny Hinn got it wrong, he's out. John Hagee got it wrong, he's out. The Blood Moon scam and all that. You know, all these guys prophesying and they always get one big one wrong so that everybody knows they're not true prophets. And so we have to assume Silas and Judas were true prophets because it says so right there. They must have got it right every time. This Judas, by the way, is Barsabbas, as I said. And then there was also Timothy. Timothy's more familiar to most of you, I believe, most likely. Paul, Silvanus, and Timotheus. They're like three musketeers. How many of you remember the three musketeers?
Uh-huh.
Only these guys wielded the sword of the Spirit. But that could have been their emblem if they had one. Paul, Silas, and Timothy. Or Paul, Silvanus, and Timotheus, however you want to put their names on there. Remember Ephesians 6:17 says, "The sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God." Big old thing there, look how big it is. Doesn't look like it could cut you, but it's the sharpest sword I own.
Amen.
Able to divide between soul and spirit, bone and marrow, discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart.
You throw it at somebody, it might hit them pretty hard.
In a physical sense, yes. It does double as a weapon when necessary. So these men took the gospel deep into Greece and Europe. Now, that when I first studied this as a new Christian, that excited me. I just never had learned that. I'm not saying no one ever tried to teach it to me. I just didn't listen. So I don't know what they tried to teach me. But when I started learning this, it was exciting. How many of you, some of you have already told me you don't like history, but I love history.
Amen.
And I love, you learn and you realize so much history that I was just totally ignorant of. I had no idea, like the history of England. I had no idea that my ancestry was basically English. You know what I thought I was growing up? German and Cherokee.
Uh-huh.
Ain't a drop of it in me. But 75 to 80% English.
Yeah,
we're playing it. Yeah. Yeah.
We're good, man.
Well, King. But I always had a love for the history of England.
Amen.
I always thought that Camelot was true.
Amen.
Always did. Had no basis for it till later. Then I found out there really is a basis for it.
Amen.
And King Arthur and all that. By the way, all these Greek gods you learn about and everything, they're real.
Amen.
Yeah.
They're just the way that the Greeks presented them is fictionalized and mythologized, but they go back to the giants.
Yep.
Guaranteed.
Amen.
So anyway, I learned about how the apostles went deep into Europe and went to Spain. And, Paul even talks about taking a trip to Spain. And there's records of how they went on the Horn of Africa. And there's very good evidence of them going down into Ethiopia and that part of Africa, and then up into the Slavic areas in Russia. He just let you in on this, though. Jesus didn't show up to an angel named Moroni in the North American continent. That didn't happen. But see, that there's no history behind that. You go do your research, you find out there's no history of that. But this is all based in history. This is one of those maps, Paul's second missionary journey. You can see the red line there showing the travel that they took. They evidently used Google Maps by the look of that. But you can see way up there. Here's way up in the left corner is where you find Thessalonica. And down to a little lower is the area of Athens and Corinth. You see that? Some of you can anyway. So then you zoom in, you see it up there near Berea, as we were just reading about in Acts 17. Those are real places with real events. Book of Mormon, not true.
Amen.
Other holy books and everything have none of this history, none of this geography to back up what you read in their books. Only the Bible. So that's a real zoom in there. So Paul's greeting defines what a church is. And this is how we're going to close it out. I want to look at this. He says, unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the church.
Amen.
The church is believers.
Amen.
There was no address. It wasn't a building he was referring to. Look around you. We love this building. We appreciate it. We thank God for it. The heat works. The air conditioning works. We have functioning plumbing. Thank God. Amen.
Amen.
We got pretty decorations. It's very cozy and all, our coffee machine and everything. And we love all this stuff. We're so thankful for it, but it's not the church.
Nope.
It's the church. Look around. See these people? Some of them are pretty and some of them are funny looking. I'm not going to look at anybody when I say that. Oh, that's the church. The believers.
Amen.
The church is believers. Churches that cater to unbelievers are not following God's purpose for His church. Amen. Some of you, I know, we've talked. You've gone to churches where every service was geared towards the unbelievers.
Yep.
Like, wait a minute. That's not what the Bible says the church is supposed to be. You're supposed to come together like we are tonight. We sing the psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. We study the word to equip you so that you can live the Christian life and be a witness. We pray together. We fellowship together. Break bread together. But that's all to make you the minister that God wants you to be. And that's the purpose of the church. That's why we do what we do here. Scripture with Scripture, the church meets for ministry to build mature Christians. Who's got Ephesians 4, 11 through 13? Jenny Miller. Go ahead and read that, and then who's next?
Behind me, Jenny.
Okay, so we're going to do this back to back.
And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ.
See, this is our statement of the purpose of the church right here. That's what we're here to do. We're here to follow God's outline for what a church is supposed to be. So pick up verse 14 through 16.
Who's next? Jim.
Jim.
Jim and Emily.
Okay.
What?
Ephesians 4, 14 through 16.
Okay.
Shh. He that henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love.
We don't have time to go to line upon that we have in the past in the book of Ephesians. But that's what the church is all about. It's to be built up so that you can be the minister God wants you to be. Not everybody's going to be a pastor. But every one of you is supposed to be a minister. Every one of you are supposed to be an evangelist.
Amen.
Everybody in this room is called to minister to others and to preach the gospel to every creature.
Amen.
And we're here to help you grow so that you can do that.
Amen.
The biblical church ministry produces evangelists. It's not a place for evangelism. Of course, if someone comes in who's unsaved, we'll witness to them. If they get saved, praise the Lord. But that's not the purpose of the church.
Amen.
To pull them in and try to... That's how some people, they never witnessed anybody their whole life. They just invite them to church, hoping that when they come to church, they'll hear the gospel. That's not God's plan.
Right.
You preach the gospel, and when they get saved, that's when you invite them to church. Church is for Christians.
Amen.
And a lot of churches have gone to the pit because they never taught anybody anything. They're always reaching out trying to build up their numbers and everything, and everybody just dies. They starve to death.
Right.
Only Christians can be the church and be greeted in this manner, as we read in verse 1. Grace be unto you. And peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I can't say that to a bunch of unsaved people sitting here in the pews. That can only be said to saved people.
Amen.
That can only be said to the church.
Amen.
The family of God. Amen?
Amen.
One last reading there. Ephesians. Wait a minute. That ain't the right one. Did I have one more? Who's left?
Janie.
Janie. Go ahead and read yours. I put the wrong text up there.
I wrote it down wrong, so. But you're okay. Okay, Ephesians 13.
3.
Or 3, 14 through 17. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named.
Don't you love that?
That he would grant you, according to the riches of his grace, to be strengthened with
glory.
Might.
According to the riches of his glory.
Oh, glory, sorry. To the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love.
Go ahead and read 18, I'm sorry.
May be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height.
It goes on, but we're going to stop there. But that's telling you what the purpose of the church is right there. And so that's where we'll pick up. He's greeted the church. He spoke to them as only Christians could be spoken to. He's introduced us to his work with Silvanus or Silas and Timotheus or Timothy, and so we'll pick up there next week in verse 2. Stand if you can. And we will close with a little chorus. Give everybody a moment who would like to stand. Some of you, most of you I think, are familiar with this. It's in our praise book. The Family of God. All right, go ahead.
I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I'm one.
prayer cards collected. Raise your hand. Jada, come around and get those. Onliners, get yours in if you haven't already. bbfohioprotonmail.com. As we say goodbye on the last day of November 2022, on three, one, two, three. See you here, there, or in the air. Good night.